You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors sharing valuable stories and helpful information who are all working to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is not by chance. Think about it. Struggling teenagers with addictions, learning disabilities, or emotional or behavioral issues have brought your parents to a moment of decision. Heartsick, anxious, and exhausted, questions bounce endlessly around in a parent's mind. Will this work? Was this really necessary? Will she or he ever forgive me? Can we handle him at home when the time comes? Well, our guest today delivers the answers to these questions and more. Dr. Tim Thain has been an avid supporter of strong families for over 20 years. He has a master's and doctoral degree in marriage and family therapy. He co-wrote Taking the Reins and has trained and coached organizational leaders in interpersonal relations. Tim continues to own a private practice, even as he has served as a primary therapist and owner of wilderness and residential treatment programs. In 2005, he founded Homeward Bound to help families transition and maintain the growth and gains made in treatment. As a well-respected professional in the field of adolescent treatment, Tim continues to contribute his experience and energy to equip families with the courage, optimism, and a game plan they need for their families to thrive. Tim, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Tim, it is great to have you here. Having read the book Not by Chance, first of all, thank you for putting that information out there to not only to parents, but to professionals, to all of us, to be reminded about what needs to take place after these kids go to these really good programs. For those that have listened to the show, they've kind of heard that, you know, there's a bit of a pet peeve for me is that on the one hand, I feel blessed that I have been able to work with so many incredible people that have great programs that do such good work with, with young people. And yet, And yet at times, you know, the feeling when I get called for the second or the third time because something hasn't worked, I realize that in those cases, the child has come back to an environment that that hasn't really been conducive for them to continue the success that they were making in the program. So, So that was one of the reasons why I was so thrilled not only to read the book, but also to have you on. So my first question, I guess, is the name, Not by Chance. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that when you look at it, if somebody's going through Barnes & Noble or something and they look out there, you don't really know what that means until you get into it. So tell us, why did you choose that name?
Well, that's a really great question, and it's amazing how many different titles you go through when you're trying to write a book, because You want the title to really represent what it is you're trying to do. And so we had to come up with also a subtitle that's to clarify. So it's not by chance, How Parents Boost Their Teen Success In and After Treatment. And at one time, my wife and I, who really helped me a lot with this book, we tried on the title of Fixed, because that is I guess that might be the fantasy of about every parent who brings a child into treatment, hoping that somehow at the end of this whole thing that child will be fixed, almost like an automobile. If you took an automobile in to the shop to get fixed, you'd want it to run the way you'd like it to in the end. That's a fantasy that I think most parents realize is not a reality, but somewhere deep down, that's what they hope. Uh-huh. And so not by chance is kind of the counter to that, to say, you know, it's not by chance that these teens succeed after treatment. And parents, you have a lot of say in that. You have a lot you can do. And I, you know, want to empower parents through this book to get all those concepts so that they can maximize the success of their treatment program, the sacrifices they've all been through to make things work. So that's where that came from.
Well, and it fits. Now again, having known you within the industry and known that you've been very successful with the programs that you've owned, as well as speaking, you know, to groups of professionals, why step back and write a book at this time?
You know, when we first started Homeward Bound, which is our aftercare process we help families with, I knew at some point I would need to write a book because we were kind of blazing some new ground. And so after two or three years in that, I thought, okay, it's time to write. And I couldn't get myself to do it because I thought, my colleagues, they'll read this and realize that we still don't know what we're doing after all this time. So we went another couple years, and you realize, oh, wow, the amount of information you learn if you're doing this day in and day out, you know, working with families all over the country. You know, we kind of travel like you do, Alan, you know, going around the country working with families in their home. If that's your laser focus, it's like peeling away the onion. You know, after 2 years, we thought we knew everything. And then after 5 years, we said, wow, I'm glad we didn't write the book yet because we've learned so much more. And finally, after 8 years, I decided this has to be out there. The mission is what's driven the book for me. And the mission is to dramatically increase the success of teens in treatment, to avoid that scenario you painted, really, as much as possible. And what I've come to realize is we've worked with families after, you know, many, many different treatment programs, that the parents are they're the ones that, you know, I believe, Alan, that our field has grown tremendously over the last 10, 15 years, and programs have become better and better. And there are really some excellent programs out there. But there's one thing left that I think that is left untapped for the most part. And that is bringing the parents into the process as the game changers, truly as the ones in the end that will be playing that pivotal quarterback role, you might say, that is going to make all the difference. And so the book was a natural extension of our vision to make a difference and get basically put everything we could think of that we would want as a parent going through the treatment, you know, the uncharted world of treatment, in a book so that they could grasp it and use it and, you know, put sticky notes in it and come back to it and use it all the way through treatment. So it's meant to be read if you're contemplating treatment, if you're just started treatment, and use it all the way through the process.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love about it, but also, and again, for the parents and professionals out there listening, is, I mean, think about how unselfish, you know, putting together a book like this, or in the same realm of founding Homeward Bound. To me, I mean, you know, I'm so appreciative of you doing this because it's such an unselfish act. because, you know, there are, you're right, it is an industry that has grown considerably, but doing things that cause there to be, you know, less people repeating the problem, you know, to me is such an unselfish act. It shows that we have so many great people that are in it to really help people, not in it to just, oh, well, so if they repeat, well, I guess that means we get more people.
So
I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, there just is so many great people, yourself included, that, you know, here you are, you're owning a program and you're like, wait, let me start a company that will make it to where less people will need to go back to a program like this and get help, and to do that with Homeward Bound, I just think is really wonderful. And
thank you, Alan.
You know, and I appreciate it very much. Now let's go through the book a little bit. Again, one of the things that I like is, again, for parents, if you get this book, and you can go, in fact, you can follow along with us. You can go to the website, which is www.notbychance.com, and you can follow along with us with some of the things we're talking about. Now, obviously, that's if you're at home, not if you're out driving. But you can open up another window and see what we're talking about. But so one of the things that I like is the book really takes you through sort of step by step. So wherever you are in the process, and as Tim said, if you're just thinking about it, then the very beginning of the book sort of jumps right into that area. If you're already in the process, depending on where you're at, the book flows in such a way that you can follow along. It sort of stays with you and takes you through the various stages that you go through when you are a parent whose child is going through a specialized program like this. So, so walk us through a little bit. And one of the things in the story that I think is very heartfelt is the introduction. Let's talk about what you call the worst day of your career.
Yeah, Alan, I think as I have known different people and seen different people make significant career shifts in their life, there has to almost be a crisis. And that's what happened for me. You know, I was happy as a co-founder in a wilderness treatment program, working as a therapist in that setting. And I'm sure I know you've had some professionals in the wilderness therapy area on your show. And so that was an amazing experience. I'm going along thinking everything is good. I'm doing my part to help out the world. I'm feeling satisfied as a professional. And then I started to see the challenges that so many teens would have when they went home after treatment, and we became a little more conservative, and more of them would go on to residential treatment or therapeutic boarding schools. And so I'm still thinking I'm playing my role. But then came along, and this is, as with any crisis, there's usually a buildup of other things, but there were a number of young people I'd personally worked with that struggled after treatment. All those gains we'd seen, you know, start to slip away. And then this young man came along that I really, really identified with. And it wasn't because he had green hair when he came to our field. That part, I don't even have much hair. But he came to our program really in full-on rebellion mode. And he was from the Northwest. And I will never forget him, because the first week I went out, it was in the middle of winter here in Utah, so we had a couple feet of snow in the field where they were camping, and he'd been with us just a couple days, and I went out, and he wouldn't see me the first week. He was so angry. And so I just asked the field staff, I said, be really watchful, you know, watch him carefully. I want to make sure he's okay. And a week went by almost, and I came back out to the field to see him again. And this time as I came into the camp, there was a noticeably different feeling in the air. And, you know, the field staff were around the fire just kind of laughing and talking. And they kind of saw me and said, hey, you know, and I'm going to call him Matt. Matt wants to be first today. And I'm like, really? Matt wants to see me today? And so I followed a well-beaten trail through the snow to a little area that he had taken and literally cleared all the snow and made it into living room furniture. There was a couch, a love seat, a coffee table, all made out of snow. And he had woven a willow mat for me to sit on so that my rear end wouldn't get wet while we sat and talked. And I was stunned. And he was ready to go to work. And over the course of the weeks, we became very, very close. And he made a lot of changes and did extremely well. He would have been one of the, you could say, poster children of the program. He was just amazing. His family was amazing. And he went on to a therapeutic boarding school, did really well there too. And then I get the call a month after he got home, expecting nothing but good news. I see, you know, his mother's name on a caller ID. And when I picked up the phone, she was actually in tears and she was crying. And that was a moment of crisis. I knew that things weren't going well. And this family ended up being the first family that I personally went into the home and visited. I just asked if I could come see him, and I caught the very first plane I could and flew there. And it was one of those things, moments, Alan, when you realize your knowledge is not nearly what it needs to be to help someone that you care about. Because he wouldn't come out of his room when I got to his home. I was thinking somehow our relationship would magically open the door to him again, and you know, because of that wilderness experience. But he was in a different place, and I had very little to offer the family because they were doing everything we'd asked them to do. They were in outpatient therapy. They were, you know, getting some. He was in a substance abuse group, and a few things like that. But I was at this point of feeling like I have let this family down. You know, somehow we are not giving them what they need. And so I flew home, and that was the crisis. It was one day feeling great about what I was doing to the next day literally feeling, you know, I'm not sure I'm making a difference. I've got to do something different. And that's where I thought about the idea of Homeward Bound and how we could begin to learn how to really support these families. And so that was the crisis that got me started with the idea of Homeward Bound. But we didn't know much. We didn't know what to do. And there was a lot to learn. And so the first thing we had to do from there is dive into the research and try to figure out what are the key success factors for these families.
Well, and you certainly did. It's, you know, obviously, and then that was 2005. So now today, so how many families do you work with today now, 8, almost 9 years later?
Boy, I don't know exactly, but I would say, you know, we're any given time, you know, somewhere between 40 and 70 families that we're working with at one time.
Wow, that's great. Now, again, going back to the book a little bit, let's talk about now in the beginning. So let's say that we have a family out there, and they don't know what they're going to do. Someone, the school counselor, therapist, or whatever, has said, you know, maybe you should look into something like this because your child is, fill in the blank, you know, out of control, abusing drugs, whatever the situation is. And interestingly, in your first chapter, you refer to it as all or nothing, success at any cost. Share with us a little bit about that early stage of where the parents are at.
Well, you know, as you know, Alan, probably well as anybody knows, that moment of crisis, the parent has gotten to this place where they literally have tried everything they can think of. They have gotten to their wit's end, literally, about what can we do to turn this around with. And they've been through crisis, they've been through trauma together most of the time, and they get to this abyss almost, this place where they feel like they have to make that leap and that jump. And so when I think about an all or nothing as far as what parents are going through, that's their point where they feel like, boy, I've got to jump all the way in terms of helping in terms of finding someone that can help my child where I can't. So that's theirs. Now, in the book, I share kind of the career all or nothing experience that I had where, when we started Homeward Bound, like I said, there wasn't a template to follow or another model really for us to follow. We had to start with going to the research and trying to identify what are the factors that will help a family succeed after treatment or a teen succeed. And we did some things, to be honest with you, Alan, in the beginning. Some of the things we did were we're still doing today. They're just foundational kinds of things, like building a home team, creating natural mentors for teens during and after treatment. Helping position parents to be, to be the leaders again in their home. Those things are still there, but we're going at it in some cases in kind of unique ways. And a lot of my colleagues in the industry will laugh at. But when we first started, the very first family that I worked with, my philosophy was, we are going to help this family no matter what, even if they hate us at the end. we want them to succeed so bad, and we want to eliminate recidivism. I mean, we had some really lofty goals. We didn't just jump into this saying we hope to make a little difference. We jumped into it thinking we are going to change the way this whole thing is done, and if we have to do something that's not liked very much by parents, so be it, because they're going to want this, aren't they? Because it's going to help them. So the first one of the things we did is we actually installed a surveillance camera in the first home that we worked with, the first family. Uh-huh. And I had my tech guy go up to their home. He actually flew before I did to their home. And as I was entering into the home, he was leaving. He had installed a surveillance camera in the front room. And the idea was that after I had given them kind of a foundation with the skills that we'd talk about, with the game plan, sort of their transition plan, and then I would be able to sit in my office in Utah here and be able to see them interact with each other in the front room. And then I could give them some coaching. What I didn't realize, I thought it was brilliant. And by the way, we did this with a few families in the beginning, and they told us that they'd never, the reality was the feedback they got from the coaching, the video coaching we were doing, was some of the most profound information they'd ever received as a parent, and it changed them. The problem was nobody wanted to do it besides three or four people. And so we were going all out, doing everything that we felt would make a huge difference in the long-term success. Problem was nobody wanted to do it. So we had to change our process a little bit in a couple cases. And it really literally took us years to overcome that reputation. Oh, Homeward Bound's the guys with the video camera in their homes. And even though we only did it for about 6 months.
Right.
But that was our, that kind of tells you the earnestness, you might say, with which we approach this task of reducing recidivism, of creating successful long-term treatment outcomes.
Well, and it sounds to me like what you're saying is that you realized that you can only do as much as this family truly and honestly wants to get help.
Yeah, that's always been my problem. And as a therapist, in a lot of cases, I've always wanted more. I've wanted them to be happier than they wanted to be. And so I sometimes will work harder than the client. And that's something they teach you in your master's program. You can't do that. They have to do their own work. And it only goes as far as they'll take it. It has been quite a journey, this process. And I share that in the book because I want the readers to understand, where all this information that I'm sharing in the book, where it's actually coming from. It come from originally these experiences of seeing this huge gap. It came from the research that we started to look at. It came from our own experiences working with families in their homes, in some cases failing with them. And and then over time, learning and developing a model that that we have high success with. But then the next step was, how do we get this information to them sooner? You know,
right.
All the way through treatment.
Which makes good sense, because what you want to do, and that's why, again, I like the concept of the book, is you want them to be able to sort of, no pun intended, but hit the ground running. You know, they are, if they have some of this information going in, rather than them at the moment in which you're there, they're hearing it for the first time and thinking about it for the first time, and I think it's a little more difficult to get them to really move forward at a greater pace. So mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes perfect sense to me. Now, we're going to take a break, but you know, I before we do that, I've got an instant message question coming across, and let me ask that. And that one says, several of the families I'm assisting to find a therapeutic program are struggling financially. Two of the programs I would like to send their teen to require a great deal of family participation, which I think is great. Unfortunately, the programs are 600 to 800 miles away and in other states. The cost of travel, not to mention the time for the parents to put into this, is difficult for them to overcome. Does your book and coaching address these types of obstacles?
You know, first I want to say this parent and or the consultant, the referring professional, mm-hmm. Really does understand how important family participation is. That's one of these programs that this person is referring to get that too. It's one of the keys to long-term success is the participation of the family, and particularly the parents in treatment. So I see the obstacle, and it is, because it's very expensive to have to travel that far. So there's a couple things that we've done. This book is definitely one tool that can make a pretty big difference in terms of preparing the family, the environment, and all of that for that eventual return of the teen. And so the book itself will be really helpful to this family for that reason. There's another tool that we've created called the Family Bridge. And it's an online tool. It's got a social media, kind of a social networking type of function to it. But later on, Alan, I hope you'll ask me some questions about home team and support networks for these kids as they come home. But the Family Bridge is a software program we've created that's based on, it's over the internet, that helps parents get more engaged in treatment. Even if their teen is quite a ways away, they can do a lot of it over the internet. And so it's designed to create greater engagement of parent during the treatment process, and as well bring in that natural support network so that they're engaged with the teen while they're in treatment as well. So that's an exciting other piece that, you know, that we've done. It's all part of the mission, right?
Absolutely.
You know what, let's
do this. Why don't you, as we go to commercial, why don't you give us the website that they can go to? And again, during the commercial, go to the website, and as soon as we get back from commercial, that's what we'll talk about.
Great. And you're talking about thefamilybridge.com. Thefamilybridge.com is that tool. But let me just say to your listeners, Alan, if there's anybody listening today that is in that situation and the program does not have Family Bridge, I would be happy to offer that for free to the parents who are in that situation. So they could email me directly and talk to me about it. It's tim@homewardbound.net is my email.
.net. Okay. All right. So you heard that. Now, so go to thefamilybridge.com. Take a look. And when we come back from commercial, we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can make that family bridge work for you. We'll be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. The book is called Not by Chance. We are talking with Dr. Tim Thane, and this is How Parents Boost Their Teen's Success in and After Treatment. Now, Tim, when we just took a break, we were talking a little bit about the family bridge. So share with us how a family can use this and at what stages they would use this.
Okay. You know, the family bridge, just to give you a quick background of where it came from, you know, a big part of our philosophy in helping these teens succeed after treatment is to build a network of support of natural mentors in their life. I have nothing against professionals and therapists being involved in aftercare. In fact, they're vital. But what's missing most of the time is those natural mentors in multiple areas of their life who are taking an interest in them, or there at the ball game, who are there at school, who are there at the party, who are, you know, putting their arm around them this way and that way. And so one of the pieces to our philosophy is when we work with families after treatment, we help them build this home team. We help them brainstorm who it would be, help them reach out to these individuals. We help them recruit these natural mentors in back into their family. Many of these families have disengaged, pulled away from their support network, maybe because they were feeling embarrassed maybe about their teen's behavior, or maybe the other people kind of pulled away from them, not knowing how to help or what to say or what to do. And so the idea is they have to be reconnected with their community again, and it needs to be given the green light to be a source of support and love and encouragement for that teenager. And so what we did is we would build this home team. We would invite the parents to have many of these people over when we were in their home after a treatment experience, just to kind of kick off the next phase of their life. And it was an amazing experience. It was, one of the most powerful things we would do. But then we'd go home and realize we're just barely getting the tip of the iceberg here in terms of the value of this process. How can we use technology to build this network of support around them and around the parents and have that continue to help that teenager? So we built the family bridge. It soon became, we created the next edition, which was really for treatment programs to use all the way through treatment, so that parents could access information on our parent library, so that they could receive pictures and good news and information from the program about their teen, and now so that the home team, these people, can comment and be involved in that teen's treatment. So the best time to have the family bridge is really from the moment you start treatment, because we encourage our families to start building that network of support from the very beginning. And that's sometimes a difficult thing, Alan, as you know. Sometimes parents will, you know, in worst case scenarios, they will actually sometimes lie to their family and friends about where their teen is, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They won't tell them the truth about what's going on. They're maybe ashamed of it, and so they might even wait till summer before they send their teen off to treatment, and so they can say they're off at a summer camp.
Right.
But what that does is it tells everybody who already knows there's problems, you know, the people who are close to us, they know when there are challenges in our family. It's kind of telling them, hey, don't talk to us about our problems. Don't ask about it.
Right.
And it also is teaching the teen that we are ashamed of where you went, and we're going to hide that from the people that we care about. And so that's one thing I would say to your listeners, their parents out there, Alan, that have, you know, that are nervous about this and wondering who they should tell. You know, you don't have to shout it on the mountaintop or put it on Facebook or anything like that. You just need to identify the people in your life who will naturally want to help. And the Family Bridge is just one tool. It's a great way to circle up that teen and invite them to be a part of you and in your life. And I would say that, you know, once you have tried this and open up a little bit and see the value of bringing natural mentors into your teen's life, I mean, they can do things us parents could never do.
Right.
It's funny how you could be telling your child something, you know, over and over and over again, and they just tune you out completely, or they, even worse, resist everything you say.
Right.
And then someone else can come along and tell them the same thing, and all of a sudden it's a great idea. I was talking to a mother the other day that I've personally coached and worked with, and we helped kind of develop this home team with her. And there's an older man in the neighborhood that she's called on to be a part of her son's life. And she's specifically asked him to, play a special role. And he has done it. Her son likes auto mechanics. So this gentleman's come over and oohed and aahed at his hot rod that he's building in the garage. And so they've got these things that they have in common. Well, the other day we had a big snowstorm here in Utah. And this man, called up this boy who's now, I guess he's 17 years old, and, you know, pretty selfish most of the time. I called him up and he said, hey, could you come over and help me shovel my snow? And I need a little help. And so because he had a relationship with him, you know, this young man came on over. And when he got there, he said, actually, could you use my four-wheeler with the blade on it to push the snow for me?
Yeah.
So the kid hops on there and pushes all the snow. And then he says, you know what? Our neighbors really need this help, too. Do you think you could just go up and down the road here and help out my neighbors? And 3.5 hours later, he finished all the neighbors' driveways and came back, and this great natural, you know, friend and mentor now said, hey, why don't you just take the four-wheeler home with you and come back at, you know, 8:30 in the morning and let's do this again. I hear it's going to snow tonight. And he was, you know what happens with kids when they begin to serve and get outside themselves, they feel good.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what happened to him. The next morning, set his own alarm. His mom didn't have to get him up. He jumped up, went back to his friend's house, and began to push snow again. And they've got a great relationship. And so the idea behind the, you know, our philosophy in the Family Bridge is to, you know, rebuild the community that we might have thought existed back in the 50s but can't be recreated today. It can be.
Well, and I think, I mean, there's so many beautiful things that come out of that story. You know, one is, I mean, he was smart enough not to tell him, you know, that he was going to get to drive a four-wheeler or anything else. The boy made the decision, you know, just on the basis of, you know, I'm going to go help this person. So I picked up on that right away. But the other thing that I see about you setting up this type of arrangement is, part of what we're doing then is we're showing them how many people love them. Look at how much love you are surrounded by. You know, and again, that's one of the things I think that is, as you say, that's one of the things that's missing. So to be able to show them that you know, at a time of their need, all of these people are rallying together to help you. And obviously, in the story you've just told, he got it, you know, because he's now doing the same for everybody else that needs a particular thing at that moment. So it's very, very...
Yeah, and talk about the love, Alan. You mentioned that as he was going up and down the street pushing everybody's snow for him, he was being showered with love from all those people. And they're in his neighborhood.
And gratitude.
And gratitude, exactly.
So, yeah, and, you know, the other point that I got when you were saying that, you know, the concept of having somebody else tell something to your teenager is huge. And I think, you know, it's something that maybe many of us, you know, after we become parents, will tend to forget. You know, we forget how we were, and we forget that, wait a minute, when I was 16, I was smarter than my parents. I knew everything. No, they couldn't tell me anything.
Exactly.
You know, and so somehow we have this amnesia as it's related to our parents. I made the joke one time that I said, you know, when they turned 15, a giant needle came out of the sky and sucked half my brain out because I got really stupid. You know, before that, when they were 5, I knew everything. All of a sudden,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get that. And we had a, you know, young man, 18 years old, and, you know, struggling with some things. And we kind of, luckily, we had some very observant friends. And this guy that's about my age kind of took him under his wing and asked him to come work with him for a day. My son comes home and is talking about how cool this guy is and, you know, how awesome he is. And, I was like, I wasn't jealous. I was so happy that there was someone my age that he thought was cool, that had my values, that would share those with him. And yeah, it's fun. And the other thing, Alan, is, you know, not only do we want to have other people kind of mentor our kids, we want to be that for their kids and for other people as well. I had a wonderful experience yesterday with someone that just texted me, and he just said, I need my home team. And he just mentioned that his son needed a little pick-me-up. I'd seen him at church, and he'd shared something at church that was just really, I was so impressed with. And so I told his dad that. Well, he wasn't feeling great that day, and his dad just texted me and said, hey, do you think you'd let him know what you told me? And so how fun was it for me to be able to call him up and just share that with him and just to hear his voice, just feel so affirmed by it. And so guess what's going to happen from now on when I see him and when my wife sees this young man? We're going to take a special interest in him.
Sure. As it should be.
So that's a piece of the philosophy, and I cover it a lot in the book. I talk about, you know, there's two chapters in the book that kind of talk about building the home team and all the different people who could be a part of the home team, and, you know, kind of how you go about doing that. I'm trying to break the belief that so many parents have that they're in this alone and that they really can't, and there's no one else that can help them. We will introduce this concept to parents we're going to work with, and because it's kind of scary at first, they will tell us, well, there's really nobody that I could ask. And so what I'm trying to do in this book is to help dispel that myth. What we found is that, you know, you start digging in with them and identifying people, they all have somebody. Even if it's just one person, that's a big deal. When you're talking about, you know, setting the stage for a teen to be successful after treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would imagine that you know, the more time you spend with them, the more people start to come to mind to them. As the mm-hmm. parents start to get the tools, those tools now allow them to open their eyes a little bit and say, oh, wait a minute, you know, Uncle Jim would be perfect for this, you know, or, you know, whomever it may be in their life, you know, the football coach, the baseball coach, you know, whatever it is that, yes. that their child had bonded with at one time and maybe pulled away from. So, yeah, I just mm-hmm. think it's just so important. We have another listener question coming in, and this one says, my brother and his wife were shocked at how removed they have been from their son's life until they were required to participate in his therapeutic program. A huge hurdle was the fear of being accused of causing JJ's emotional issues. 6 months after returning home, they are continuing the processes they learned and are looking for other tools to reinforce their success. Your book sounds like one I should recommend to them. It says, as a high school counselor, do you recommend it for professionals in this field as well?
Yeah, I think, as you said, Ellen, this is great for professionals. We've had some really neat feedback so far. We're just getting the book out, and just a couple days ago, I got a card that made my month, probably. It's the referring professional, a therapist, or actually an educational consultant in this case, that said, this is the, and I don't want to brag here too much, but I was so proud of it and feel so good about it. He said, this is the best thing that has come into our field since 1987 when I first started doing this. And to him, he was so excited to get it because he felt like now I can share this. This is meant to be really shared and practical for all the families that you're working with. Even if they're not in intensive treatment, a lot of the book really gets down to some things that will help them and hopefully prevent out-of-home placement. But if there's a need to move on to that next step, they're all ready for that and prepared. So I would say definitely, you know, read this if you're a professional, and I think you'll feel the same way that this other professional did, that this is something that he wants to share with all of his families.
Well, so that they don't think that you're bragging about it, I'm going to be the one to brag about it. I'm going to read one of the statements written about the book that was made by a very well-known and well-respected professional in this industry, and this reads, excellent book, wonderful resource for families and professionals alike who are serious about retaining positive treatment gains. I highly recommend Not by Chance, and that's by Kimball Delamar. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so yes, you know, it's, I don't think it's bragging on your part. It's just the fact that you've put together something that is very, very beneficial for all. You know, I just looked up, we are almost out of time. So I guess we've only got about a minute and a half. So okay. I noticed in the book you sort of make a promise that, you know, to help hold parents' hands in creating a customizable and doable game plan. Can you give us, you know, in 90 seconds, how is that done?
You bet. You know, the book is a part of it, and then for many families, they need help customizing this and individualizing this. And so we would start with really what we call a panoramic assessment, getting our arms around the whole system, because a good transition plan to home includes addressing multiple areas in the system, the family, the home team, as I talked about, the individual child's successes and failures and challenges. And so the assessment's first. And then we start to coach that family around what should the the plan for going forward look like, or the family rules look like? What should consequences? And by the way, there are some of these tools are included in on our website, notbychance.com. We just offer these templates for families who are going through this. But the idea is you got to get really specific. And a lot of times, because we've been through this 100 times, you know, nothing's new to us. We can help families really put together a plan that they can actually follow through with, one that'll be successful. We've experienced that so many times that we can pretty much tell right off the bat if what the family's thinking will actually be executable. And then we help them look at all the different facets of the plan and put that together. So if anybody's interested and needs that kind of support, absolutely we can do it. The book will get you a long ways down the road.
Tim, thank you so much. I wish we had more time, if we can have you on again, I think we could do another hour easily. Again, for those listening, the book is called Not By Chance. Go to notbychance.com. A lot of valuable information there for you. Again, Tim, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. And for everybody out there, if you're not able to write this down, go to answersforthefamilyblog.com. We'll have Tim's information there. Have a great week. We'll hopefully you'll hear us again next week. Stay with us. Bye now.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.